Today on the Game Boys Podcast, we talk about Nintendo Switch Online, PlayStation Mini, and is the Vita dead? Tune in! Hey everybody, welcome back for another sleepy evening at the Game Boys Podcast. I'm here with my partner in crime, Bowman.
Hey everybody, welcome to the podcast. Good to be here.
Good to have you. My name is Pat, and we got a real rowdy one for you today.
It's Woo.
Some crazy stuff happening. You know, finally came to fruition the Nintendo Switch Online service, and we're going to talk about that in a bit. But first, how have you been?
Great, man. I just playing some Doom right now on my Switch, and okay. I've been kind of blowing you up about this. And it's funny because you've been trying to get me to play this game forever.
I wasn't trying that hard. I wasn't trying to get you to play it. I was just going on about how great it was.
And I finally got into it. I finally got past the first level.
Yeah. Okay.
And I'm starting to really like it. I got the Switch version a while ago. Right. I sold my Xbox. I don't know if I told you that. My Xbox One is officially gone.
Kaput.
It's done.
See you later, Xbox.
Yeah, GameStop had a special where it was like $120 credit, cash, or $150 credit for the original Xbox One, which I knew that there was no way I would ever be able to sell it
right
for that much. So, got rid of it. Pretty content with just having my Switch, PS4. And PC. I don't really need the Xbox anymore. I gave it a shot. Didn't work out.
Adios, muchacho.
So
this is how unappealing the Xbox was to me. Is you practically would have given it to me for like $75, and I was like, eh.
Yeah.
So
there's just no real reason. The exclusives are not really that enticing enough. The few that there are.
So this is actually a little callback to episode one of the Game Boys Podcast. We had a favorite games of 2016.
Yes, we did.
And my game was Doom.
Yeah.
So all the way going back to episode one, I've been talking about how
full
great
circle.
This game was.
And I finally got into it myself. Honestly, I heard originally I heard that the Wolfenstein 2 port was bad. And the more research I've been doing, the more people are saying, I've been finding more information that people are saying it's actually a better port than the Doom port. And the Doom port is really good. So I might get... Have you heard... Should I play Wolfenstein 2?
Did you play the first one?
No.
I mean, it's a story-based shooter.
Yeah. So
it's heavy in the story.
So I should be playing the first one first?
Yeah. Play the first one. You can get it for like $10.
Yeah. I'll probably play it on PC or something.
And... I think it was on PC. Basically, from what I can tell, the Wolfenstein port essentially just suffers from the same issues that Doom 1 has, but worse, because it's a newer game. But if the Doom issues aren't bothering you, then you'd probably be fine.
Yeah.
Let's pause right here. I need to check the audio on this. My sound waves look really small. So yeah, I would say if play the first one. If you like it, get it. Get the second one.
I'm really into the idea of playing these big budget triple A games on my Switch. It's been really cool. I've been once again taking it everywhere with me again, just because that I can play this game. So big fan of Doom. I don't want to ramble too long. It's a 2 year long game, 2 year old game now. So anybody who wanted to know anything about it knows about it. But it's great.
It's so cheap now. If you've been curious about it, just grab it for like $10 and try it out.
Yeah, it's worth it. Everything you described about it ended up being true tenfold. I don't like shooters just because it ends up turning into where you just hide behind things.
Right.
And you just move room to room, and it's just boring because it becomes like a crappy stealth game.
Hide behind wall, pop out, shoot guy, rinse and repeat.
Mm-hmm. And this one, you're encouraged to get really into the action at all times. You're constantly moving. There's a whole terrain of places to climb around and shoot. And you're just running circles around these enemies or charging at them, because when you kill them with these what are they called? The glory kills, which people have, a couple people I heard criticize it where they said it got gratuitous and repetitive, but
oh, it seems pretty fulfilling.
They're like a half second long,
yeah,
and they have a purpose too, because every time you do it, you get a health bonus or an ammo bonus.
So you don't bother doing it if you don't need health.
Exactly. So, it's a lot of fun. So if you haven't played it, I really recommend it. Like, I'm not typically a shooter guy at all, and this is kind of like my gateway back into that genre.
Cool.
So I'm hoping that the other games they have are fun too.
Yeah. So, all right. Anything else going on?
Not really, man. We just have our weekly workout, which is good. And you got a lot going on.
You're gonna be living at my house.
I'm gonna be. I just own this place for a couple weeks.
Yep. You're gonna be watching my dogs and my kitties.
Yep.
And making sure the place doesn't get burned down or burgled.
Oh yeah, I can actually start playing games in your game. I might as well take advantage of this game room while I'm here.
Yeah, that'd be good. Yeah, so I'm going on vacation.
Yes.
I'm going to the great wilderness of Europe.
You've been talking about this trip since I've met you. So yeah. It's a long time coming.
Yeah, well, because every year something would come up.
Well, you've always planned to do it when you turn 30.
Well, I always wanted to go to Oktoberfest, but we've been talking about, like, we wanted to already have gone to Europe by now.
True.
I've been before. My wife has not. And, yeah, so we're going to Oktoberfest first, and then we'll be going to London for a few days, and then across the pond to the old, friendly Paris. Old, clean, friendly, beautiful Paris.
Oh, boy.
So,
I can smell the croissants from here.
Yeah, I could smell the urine from here.
That, too.
So, yeah, it's should be a good time. Not gonna be like my Japan trip where I'm like game hunting and stuff, unfortunately. Part of it is because it's too big of a hassle with the PAL 50 hertz stuff that, like, a lot of the older games are unplayable, basically. The only thing that I might do is pop in when I'm in the UK and see if I can find some, like, cheap Vita games because they're region free.
Yeah.
So, aside from that, because I will have my Vita with me, I'm not bringing my Switch because it's too easy to get pickpocketed and robbed over there. It's not the same Europe I knew when I was a lad. So, yeah, but should be a good time. You know, gonna hit the old usuals, Westminster Abbey and the pubs and all that. Eiffel Tower with the bulletproof glass around it.
The usuals.
Yeah, the usuals.
How long has that been up for?
Not long.
Yeah, they just put it up, right?
So maybe if I'm really unlucky, I'll get stabbed or something. Acid attack. That's what I'm really thinking about. So, but I'm about, you know me, I'm a best case scenario kind of guy. I don't like flying, and we have to take 7 or 8 flights.
Yeah.
So that should be fun. Aside from that, yeah. And then when we get back, I got a wedding I got to deal with. So
got to deal with.
Well, I mean, I got things I got to do.
Yeah, you're in the wedding party.
I am the wedding party. I'm best man. So I'm in charge of the bachelor party. So that should be fun. But aside from that, yeah, just playing Persona 5, and I've gotten back into Animal Crossing New Leaf and the excitement of the new one coming. So I never did complete my house.
Did you ever do the amiibo update?
It's on there. I don't use it at all.
Yeah, you can get, like, really cool stuff with it.
Like what?
Well,
I know you can get Wolf Link villager.
Yeah, but, like, in the campsite, certain villagers will visit if you activate an amiibo, and then you can buy their furniture that they have.
Yeah,
like, you activate one of the Splatoon ones, you get the these characters who move in, and they have Splatoon furniture you can buy.
Okay, I'll do that for sure.
I mean, might as well. If you're replaying the game, might
I knew
as well.
About that. I'm not replaying it. I continued where I was, but
just saying.
I knew about that. But to be honest, I'm not a big furniture guy.
Yeah,
it's weird. If you go in my house, each room is themed, and they're already themed. So, like, whenever I get new furniture, I'm like, I don't need this. So, like, my main room is all the Nintendo stuff you get with the fortune cookies. And then my upstairs is like a giant aquarium with all the like sharks and stuff in it. And then one of the side rooms is like a space room. And then my bedroom is like styled like a bedroom. It's got like a record player with like a, all the records on the wall and stuff. So
that's
like,
cool.
Yeah.
Those records are, those are like the KK.
Yeah.
Tracks.
Right. And you can, display them up on the wall.
That's cool.
And then I also have next to the record player, there's a shelf that's got records in the shelf. yeah, so it's pretty cool. And yeah, I just when I get new furniture, I'm just like, I don't have anywhere for this. Oh, but you know what they added? Or maybe they already had this and I just never unlocked it. But I'm pretty sure it was added in the update was they have like a hidden room now in the house where you can like dump garbage that you don't know what to
do
with.
Oh, wow.
Yet.
I had no
idea. Like, yeah. So that's pretty neat. So yeah, I'm into that. And then I've been playing Persona, but I'm going to, it sucks because I'm going to be away from it for like 2.5 weeks. I have to come back and be like, where am I? What am I doing again?
Yeah.
But yeah, so, all right, well, let's get right into this whole show here, this thing that we're doing. Right off the bat, I mean, the big one is, what do you think the big story is, PlayStation Mini or Switch Online? I think it's probably the PlayStation Mini.
Let's talk about the PlayStation Mini.
All right. So what are your thoughts on the PlayStation Mini?
Well, those of you who don't know, PlayStation Mini was just announced recently. It's going to be $100. It's going to have 20 games loaded onto it. The games listed so far that they revealed were Ridge Racer! Specifically Type 4.
That's the re-release, right?
I guess.
With the extra stuff on it?
I don't know anything about Ridge Racer.
Oh,
so,
come on, man.
Sorry,
it's
man.
Ridge Racer!
Final Fantasy VII, Jumping Flash, Wild Arms, and Tekken 3 were the games that were so far announced.
You ever play that Jumping Flash before?
Nope.
Pretty neat.
Yeah?
First-person 3D platformer. You're like a big, weird rabbit thing that jumps a million feet in the air, and you're like platforming on like really rudimentary 3D environments.
Oh, I'm looking at the image of it now and I do recognize it.
So yeah, what are your thoughts on this thing here?
$100 is a lot, and I don't know. I don't know what they really could load onto it. I guess the thing about the Super Nintendo and the Nintendo Classics is that Nintendo kind of, like, hoards these games aside for a while, and they have, like, a huge novelty to them.
I'm pretty sure you can buy most of these games. Well, here's the thing. They've been real fucks when it comes to, like, PS1 and stuff on the PS4. You can't get it. You have to have a PS3 or Vita.
For PlayStation 1 releases?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
So that's what sucks, is because most of these games are available.
Yeah, that's true. You have to have a PS3. I forgot about that.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, I don't really know. I don't think 20 games is enough for $100. And people are excited about, I have no excitement about these titles so far yet.
Were you a PS1 guy?
Yeah, I play a lot of PlayStation, but
so
I don't know what they could do to really make me to make it really that appealing to me, because a lot of these games I'm not really interested in playing on a console like this. I'm more interested in like having them on the go, which I already can do on my Vita,
right.
And or eventually Switch when they're going to release like all those Final Fantasy games anyway. So
thoughts on the controller?
Kind of stupid that they're releasing the original controller like that. I get like the novelty of it. It's supposed to be the original release, but
there's a big chunk of the library that can't be represented here.
Yeah, so that's alarming. I don't think anybody misses that controller or is like nostalgic about the original PlayStation controller.
Right.
So, kind of lame that they did that. Also, no AC adapter, which it's just little things like that where it's just, well, come on.
So, I've thought about this a lot, and I have a really good reason why it's $100 and why the other classic systems have not been that expensive. And here's my reason. All right, I racked my brain on this one, on why they would do this. PlayStation games were the first major console. I mean, I guess you have Saturn or whatever, but there's no Saturn Mini. PlayStation games were the first major console that used disc-based games, and therefore they had CD-quality audio, and a lot of that CD audio was real music.
True.
That they have to license out again in order to get these games. So, like, when you're talking about games like Wipeout, they have to contact fucking Joe Schmo electronic artist from 20 years ago and be like, hey, we need to pay you for these tracks again.
True.
So it's a lot more expensive to license these games out.
Are you interested in that, in this thing?
No. And here's why. Okay? Because I still have a PS3 hooked up, and I have like 70 PS1 games. So for me, it's not a good value, because I can literally put them in my PS3 and it outputs an HDMI already. And yeah. So, but how many people out there are like me, where they have a shitload of PS1 games and a PS3 hooked up still? That's not a very big market. So I'm clearly not the test market for this, or I'm not the person to buy this. I bought the SNES Classic and the NES Classic because there's no easy way to play those games on a HDTV, and it was just convenience, because I'm like, oh, I can just throw them in my living room, and I could play them, you know, I could play some of these classic titles in my living room or whatever. I can already do that with the PS1 games because I have the PS3 out there. And also, a big thing for me was the controllers.
That's where I'm at.
I have no use for the controller that they have because it's proprietary. Nintendo stuff works on the Wii Virtual Console and Wii U and stuff, so there was a use for that. So that's why I bought those ones and why I don't have much interest in this one. But if you don't have a PS3...
Or a PSTV, which is... Well, yeah. I also was going to bring that up, because I have a PSTV, so...
Sure, so if you don't have a PS3 or a PlayStation TV, which nobody bought, and you don't have a shitload of PS1 games, then this probably is a good deal, because already, I'm pretty sure Wild Arms is an expensive game. And a lot of these... I mean, some of these games that they could put on there are classics. Like, when you go through the PS1 library, it's like, these were major, major titles.
They've got some great games they can put on there.
So,
yeah.
While we're on the topic, I mean, what are some, like, must-haves in your mind?
Final Fantasy Tactics is a huge one.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't think that one will be on there, but...
No?
No, I think it's too niche.
Let's see here. What else? Probably... I'm sure they'll probably put... Crash will be put on there in some shape or form.
You think so? After they just released that remaster?
I don't think the rematch is going to matter. This is supposed to be like a nostalgic experience.
Okay, so in your mind, they have to have Crash.
They'll throw one on there. What else will they put on there? What else? PlayStation? Resident Evil is a big possibility.
Yeah, I think that's a definite. Probably, yeah. Resident Evil 2.
Yeah, Resident Evil will be good. Let me think.
It's a lot.
I wish they could do Ape Escape, but they can't.
That's such a fun game.
Yeah,
That's a huge miss.
Misstep there for that.
And you know what another one is that I don't think you can do? Is Metal Gear Solid.
No, because you need a DualShock for that one. Yeah.
Because you need the vibration.
I was just going to think of that one, too.
Yeah.
So, the controller is a big issue.
Twisted Metal.
Twisted Metal's a given. Metal, it's definitely going to be on there.
Hopefully, two, because that was the better one. Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's a lot of, like, RPGs they could put on there.
Yeah.
A lot of really great ones. Chrono Cross.
But as you said, I think those are more niche, really. Chrono Cross, maybe not, but...
I mean, that was their bread and butter, was RPGs, like Japanese games. That was the big... Those platformers, maybe a Spyro game.
Put Busby on there.
Busby? Bubsy?
Bubsy. Bubsy.
Bubsy 3D.
Put Gek.
Gex. You're like the Tim and Eric version of these games. I love Gek.
Gek and Buzzy.
Buzzby and Gek. Spiro the dragon.
Crow.
Yeah.
Anyways.
Intelligent Cube, maybe. You know that one?
You don't know
like
that
a,
one.
Like a blank stare here.
No,
it's like
I don't
a puzzle
know.
Game. Yeah, I have it over there in Japanese because the English release is expensive.
What
IQ.
Else you got here on your list here? Gran Turismo.
That's a definite.
Yeah, they'll do that.
Gran Turismo 2, hopefully. Maybe Toomba.
That would be cool.
Yeah.
That's a really good game.
That's a really good game. Yeah, so Tomb Raider probably.
Yeah, Tomb Raider would be good. That works for the original controller.
So I think you're going to see a lot of RPGs, honestly.
Yeah. I'll be interested to see what they do, but, I mean, as you just said yourself, it's just not a product for either of us, but
well,
I could see it
selling.
For you,
maybe.
Hmm?
For you, maybe. But you have your PlayStation TV,
I have my PlayStation TV, so I'm good.
Right. I'm going to assume that just about everything that they put on this is going to be available on the PlayStation Store.
Yeah, probably. Everything they've already put forward. Oh, they could do Parappa the Rappa.
Yeah.
That's a
given.
That's a given.
That's that one of their properties. They don't even have to license anything out for it.
Yeah.
So what's your thoughts on them only announcing 5 games? When it comes out in December.
Yeah,
And they already did pre-orders for it.
It seems strange. It's obvious that they're just trying to, like, they're probably still in the process of getting of finalizing plans for other games.
So that's what a lot of people are saying, is that they're thinking that they haven't pinned down all the rights to everything yet.
Well, again, like, Nintendo took all those ROM sites down, so... Yeah,
Symphony of the Night?
Symphony of the Night is a really good one.
That's gotta be on there.
That's most definitely gotta be on there.
Yeah, so... I mean, there's a lot of amazing games that they could put on there. If this is... I think people got a little excited with the price and stuff and the lack of the analog. If you don't have an easy way to play these games, this is probably going to be a great value. I mean, just if they put a couple Final Fantasies on there alone, you're just 2 games, you're looking at 100 hours or whatever of entertainment. Like,
yeah.
And then you have all the other games. So, unfortunately, what happens in all these situations, at least with the people I know, is... they buy it and they just replay the games they've played before. They never touch the games they don't know. So,
yeah, that's what these things are. Just a nostalgic trip.
Right. Yeah, so it's interesting for sure. I think everyone kind of assumed this was coming eventually.
Yeah.
Now I'm seeing all the articles. Okay, Sega, the ball's in your court. Dreamcast Mini.
Not happening.
No, probably not. Well, because it's like a...
We can't even get a good Sega Genesis from Sega. We're not going to get anything.
Right. Yeah. Well, also, it's just... I don't think Dreamcast emulation is quite there. So... yeah, but...
Not from Sega, anyway.
Pretty neat, though, regardless. I'm a big PlayStation, PS1 fan. That was my console that generation. So, I went... NES, Genesis,
Siphon Filter,
PS1. Yeah, that'll be in there for sure. Yeah. One of those will. As a kid, I had Siphon Filter, and it's like a stealth game.
Mm-hmm. I played the game.
And like I never played a game like that before, so I didn't really understand the concept of it. So I would just run around tasing guys until they burst into flames. And that's all I did. I, like, never went past the first level. I would just run around and tase guys, and if you tase them long enough, they would just catch on fire.
I don't remember that.
Really? Yeah. So, all right. Well, the other big thing, at least to us, we've been waiting for this for a long time. It's an old staple of the Game Boys podcast. Switch Online.
Since
it's finally here.
Bitch about the online service like we've been doing for the past...
It's finally here,
podcasts?
Man. It's finally here.
Yep. So these
the big day
are these
here.
Are our thoughts on the online service so far. So it did just launch. What it launched on the 18th, like at like 9 or 10 o'clock at night on the 18th.
Right. Yeah.
So
I haven't. Okay. Here's a foreword. We have not played this since the day it came out, and I heard from some random person on Reddit, who commented on one of my posts, said all the online is shitty right now. It's way, like, I'm trying to play Capcom arcade beat 'em up and it's also laggy. So it could have been because there was like maintenance being done to it or whatever. We haven't played it since. But me and you played the online NES games.
We did.
And it wasn't good.
Especially, it wasn't horrible.
Well, Mario 3, which is the main attraction in that list of games.
It wasn't as bad as I thought it was going to be, to be honest.
It was
with
less
you.
Bad for you, because what I think it happens in a peer-to-peer setting online, I'm pretty sure it, like, downscales to whoever's internet connection is slower. So, like, you were the host, basically. Even though it was my room, you were the host, I think. So, for you, it was fine. But for me, I'm getting lag because it's, like, streaming from you and you have the lower input or the lower connection. Regardless, you're saying it wasn't that bad. You couldn't even slide under the block in the second level.
I'm not saying it's not bad. I'm saying it wasn't as horrible as I thought it was going to be.
Sure. Okay, fine. But we're talking level 2.
Yeah.
And this is a precision platformer, and you're having issues on level 2.
Yeah. Well,
so should just give you a little taste of things to come when you play later in the game.
I think it's just a crappy emulator. Peer-to-peer online play so is what the issue is so far.
That's the problem, and that's really the crime here, is that they're charging people and they're still using peer-to-peer, so they're not even, like, running servers or anything. They're just literally taking money for nothing.
Yeah. They're just, I mean, everyone's doing it. Xbox and Sony do it.
But everybody does it much better. That's yes. the issue.
Yes. And
that's what people were worried about coming into this was, great, now they're going to charge us, but they've always been bad.
Yeah.
And it's like, nobody has an issue paying for Sony and Microsoft, because whenever there is a problem with online games, it's always the developer who made the game. It's always a problem with that game. It's not like all of the online is crappy because Sony was too cheap to get some real servers and, you know, did peer-to-peer garbage. Peer-to-peer is trash. That's like 90s shit. Seriously. Peer-to-peer is like 1990s PC gaming. That's not pay online, pay monthly or whatever online service in 2018. Nobody's doing that. Nobody does peer-to-peer. So it's just frustrating. And it's frustrating not because we have to pay. It's frustrating because I just want it to be good. That's the problem. Yeah. Is like, I would love, it would be so cool to be able to play Nintendo games online with each other. And we had fun. We played River City Ransom, and that's a slower paced game. So that was fun, you know. But it would be great to be able to play those games online. And if there were more games, better games with more online multiplayer, I think that the service could really gain some value if they were like, okay, we're doing online, let's do some stuff that, you know, it's not easy to do normally, like that we can't do with the NES Classic. Let's do RC Pro-Am 2. There's four players online. And let a group of people, a group of friends get together and play four players online. You don't need four wired controllers or whatever. That would be great. Same thing, you know, like, I mean, obviously this is a different because it's a licensed game, but like Nightmare on Elm Street or whatever, like, just start getting some of those like four player games and, you know, add stuff like that. That would add value to the service. So we got that. And then have you played online since then? Splatoon or anything?
No, I have not yet. I have not touched the service other than that. I've only been playing the Nintendo games online so far. So I'll let you know next podcast. Well, a couple weeks, but hopefully I'll let you know more about that. But one thing I'm curious about is that the voice chat is a joke that it goes to your phone, but I didn't realize that they let you talk with strangers through the voice chat app now.
In Mario Kart.
Not Splatoon, I don't think.
Yeah, in Mario Kart. I don't know.
Interesting.
I guess, yeah, it's something. I don't know. What happens if you curse?
I don't know.
What happens if you make fun of little kids for being shit?
I'm sure there's a report button on there or something.
Yeah.
Well, I'm not sure, actually, it's Nintendo, but
but, because, I mean, the fun in playing with strangers with voice chat is to trash talk. That's literally the fun of it. It's just, ha-ha, you suck.
Gotcha, kid. I guess friendly trash talk. I mean, I don't like online play like that. I'm not really into the whole trash talk thing anymore. Really? I want to just meet people. Like, yo, let's play again sometime. Like, I'm actually... I like the social aspect of online play.
That's pretty lame.
Yeah. Well, I guess I'm a lame guy.
You are a lame guy. That's why I have you on here. It makes me look cooler. okay, well, and then also, so they found out that the NES games and emulator that run them are literally just .NES ROMs, and the emulator is the emulator from the NES Classic.
Not surprised at all.
Which, of course, they say they read the feedback and everything like that. They don't. They don't give a fuck, because the NES Classic emulator is well known to just be, like, not that great of an emulator. There's, like, a lot of, like, imperfect emulation. Just, like, colors are wrong, and the music is off at times, and things like that. So, whatever. They don't care. They're pumping out three a month. They're still on 28.8K dial-up, so they're still downloading the ROMs. It takes them a week and a half to upload them. So
Nintendo Switch Online, it is what it is. I've talked to multiple people who have Switches, and not everyone I know has signed up for it yet, just because a lot of people I know don't. The only reason to play for me, I got it because I had to, because I play Splatoon all the time. That was the only reason I really got it.
One thing I would like to bring up that we forgot to mention: the button scheme.
Oh, the button scheme.
They do not let you adjust the control scheme, and okay, this is why I realized I did some thinking. This is what I realized and why it feels so wrong. In Mario World, the Y button is run,
yeah,
and the B button is jump. And for whatever reason, they said fuck you, and they chose the Y button to be inactive totally. Yeah. It's the only button on the controller that does not have a button mapping. You can't remap the controls, and it's a big fuck you. And my conspiracy theory is that they did it on purpose so people would buy the NES controllers. So, the controls are terrible. They really are. It was very difficult to get used to. So, that sucks. But aside from that, you know, cloud saves are nice. I like that it automatically does it once you set it to.
Yeah. I went ahead and went through all my major games and backed up all my saves.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm paying for this service. I might as well do that.
Yep. So
it is what it is. Should anybody go out there and rush to get their online service? No. I think the only reason you should really get it is just if you're plan on playing online games at all, because you have to do it now. And
Not for all games. Not for Fortnite.
Fortnite is like the only one that I know of where you don't have to do it.
So, here's the thing. If you don't have a specific reason to play, to get the online, please don't.
Please don't, yeah.
Show them that it's garbage and that nobody wants it, and maybe they'll improve it. Maybe they'll actually, if nobody gets it, maybe they will actually listen to some of the input and feedback and, you know, make it better.
Yeah, but it'd be nice.
All right, so you got anything else here?
Yeah. So let's go, while we're on the topic of online services, PlayStation made a pretty big announcement. The PlayStation Now service, which previously was just a streaming service, you could stream PS4 games, I think even PS3 games, like and PS2 yeah. games, all in the service. I tried it out before. It's kind of neat. Like, it's not compatible with Vita anymore. I think they removed that. But in the past, it was Vita could use it, and your PC and your PS4 could use it. Mm-hmm. And you could stream all these games onto these platforms. So, the problem with it, it's just, at the end of the day, it's a streaming service. And how it works is that the game is actually running on one of Sony's servers. They're actually playing the game for you at that point, and they're streaming you the video feed. So then you're just sending back the control inputs. It's not perfect. You can't play, like, but it was surprisingly not bad for what it was. But it wasn't, but in my opinion, it wasn't worth the money, because you could not download these games onto your console. While Microsoft has the Xbox Game Pass, and their service is actually pretty well affordable, and
it's like $10 a month.
It's like $10 a month, and there's a large supply of games that you can download onto your hard drive. So
all the major like first party games.
Yes, a lot of them. And a lot of games like launched that way too on the service. So I always thought that Xbox had like a slight edge on PlayStation when it came to that, but PlayStation finally got that cornered, and they made an announcement that they're, well, it's actually already happening now, where a lot of their PlayStation Now titles are downloadable onto your system now.
Not only that, but I think they lowered the price.
I think it's $120 a year or something.
Well,
like
I
that
saw
it
on sale then for $99 a year.
I think it's usually like $120 a year.
So it's like $10 a month. Yeah, the service is pretty neat. We have a friend who might be able to benefit from this. Our friend Rich Mike.
Mm-hmm.
Because he's a huge, like, Dark Souls fan. And he doesn't have a PS4. And so he's never... Or a PS3. He never owned any Sony consoles. So he's never played Demon's Souls or Bloodborne. And I'm pretty sure both of those are on
they are,
the service.
I know Bloodborne is the same way.
And he has a nice... pretty nice gaming PC. So,
well, do you know, I don't think you can download these games on your PC.
You can't download them on your PC, but you could stream them still.
Yeah, of course.
So the service is cool. I think the idea of not having to have a PS4 and being able to play these games anyway is pretty cool. And definitely you're right where it's like it's a huge difference to be able to download these games. Yeah, I mean, that being said, not really useful for me because I got a billion games that I don't need to stream or download games for $100 a year. But, yeah, I could see this being great. It would be a great gift for, like, a kid.
Oh, yeah.
Because for the cost of 2 games a year, they can just play unlimited games. So, if I had, like, a kid... And I wasn't a gamer myself, so I'm, like, not buying games for myself. Like, if it was my parents growing up, that would have been a perfect service to have. Where it's, like, for the cost of 2 games, you can just get them that pass and tell them, shut up, don't ask me for any more games for the rest of the year, you know?
I could see in the future myself heading in this direction of wanting a service like this because I don't usually like paying full price for games when they launch. But I still game pretty often, so it would be useful for me to just have a library of games.
Well, you love paying for monthly services.
Do
so,
I?
Yeah. Yeah, you're serviceman.
I am not.
Yeah, when you canceled your movie pass, you ran out immediately. You're like, now I got that taste of that monthly movie pass. I gotta go out and get something to replace it.
Well, I liked it. Okay, we can move into this. I wasn't going to talk about this right away, but... So, we all know MoviePass is shit. There's a billion articles every day telling you.
I love it so much. I love that MoviePass. In fact, you know what? I pulled up the app today to see if there was a movie plan for me and you to go see after this podcast, and it just said, there are no more showings today.
So, that about sums up MoviePass for you. So... Yes, I decided to experiment and try this service out. So, we're obviously not sponsored.
But so, you can.
But you can if you really want to.
Contact us on Twitter at @the_gameboys with a Z if you want that sweet, sweet sponsorship on here.
So, I'm using the service called Cinema, spelled with an S. And the service had a sale recently, a summer sale. They had all these different plans. It's kind of like a... You can build your own service to what appeals to you most. They have like 1 movie a month, 2 movies a month, 3 movies a month, 3 any movies a month. So like you can see IMAX if you want to. And they actually just recently came out with a unlimited movie service.
Can you go see as many movies as you want per day?
No. Oh, actually, I don't. You know what?
1 million movies per month.
I don't know if they have. I severely doubt it. They just came out with a unlimited movies service. So the service that I'm paying for was a summer sale where it's $10 a month for 3 movies, any theater, any 3 movies. There's a lot of weird things about this service, though. I think I told you about it. Where so
they basically extorted you before they would start your subscription.
They're like, so
we'll get to it when we get to it, unless you want to pay us $10.
Basically, yes. I mean, that's exactly what happened. I didn't pay them, but yes. So what you had two options when you join the service. You can either pay annually and do that. Well, I wasn't going to fall for that just because MoviePass fell apart, so I'm not going to pay annually.
I can tell you from experience, you definitely should have just paid annually.
I guess I probably should have, because when you pay monthly, they charge you a $20 initiation fee.
Okay.
That's a lot. So my first month was $30.
Sounds great.
So
sounds like a pretty good deal.
So how the service works... Well, okay, so what Pat was saying was that when they activate the service, they used to give you a card, just like MoviePass does, where they give you like a card and you check into the theater and then there's money in the card and you buy your ticket that way. The way they have it set up now is that it's all card the service. So what that means is that when you want to see a movie, you have to buy it on a website like Fandango or something like that. And you tell them what movie they want, what you want to watch, and what time it is. You have to like check on the website first to see that if it's available.
Oh, so it's not every showing?
No. I'm just saying, like, literally, if the seat is available, okay. If they have a seat. So
got it.
Oh, but no, before I get to that, no. So, yes, before they actually would activate my service, it said it would take 1 to 2 weeks, but then they had like, a link there that says, if you want to expedite the activation process, well, you can do that for $10. You pay $10, you can have it now, which is just shady as hell. So I didn't do it. So I waited about 2.5 weeks, and then they activated it.
You had to, like, contact them, though.
I don't know if I had to, but I contacted them, and they said it would be up in that my service would be online in, like, 4 to 5 days. So I don't know if it would have happened if I didn't or did not contact them. Who knows? Point is, service got activated, and how you do the service is that you go on the website, look for the seat. If it's available, then you tell the app, all right, cool, I'm going to see this movie at this time at this theater. And then it gives you a temporary credit card information. So you go onto the website, you're going to pay for the ticket, and then you enter the credit card information it just gave you. The cool thing about that is that your ticket's booked. It's done. It's on your phone. You get to walk up to the theater, and you're already good to go. MoviePass, you have to check in and wait in line for the ticket and hope that it's swiped. And this one, all you need to do is when you get to the theater is just say that you're at the theater. You just check in and say you're at the theater, and then it's done. That's the end of the process. But now, the weird part about it is that it doesn't cover your convenience charges. So those of you out there who want to try this service, there is a way around it where you can actually Facebook. I don't use Facebook, but Facebook has a movie ticketing service now where it's a portal to Fandango and Atom. And no, Atom and some other RAM service. I don't know.
And is it Eve?
I don't fucking know. Whatever. Some other service. So what it does is if you buy your tickets through this portal through Facebook, you get your convenience charge taken off. So
you know why, right?
I mean, I'm sure just advertisements and just Facebook wants to get into that business.
Exactly. They're in the data collection business, so they want to see what movies people are going to see and stuff, so they're paying the convenience fee, basically, to get that information.
Whatever. You can have the information. You can see that I saw fucking Searching the other day. That's fine. So, I don't know. If the service ends up giving me no issues, I'm happy, just because the issue with MoviePass was... Well, there's a lot, but... When I started disliking MoviePass when it started giving me the buffet, like a little option of just these are the movies you can watch, because I liked the idea. I was okay with just seeing 3 movies a month. Even when it was unlimited, I never saw more than 3 movies a month. I just like the option of being able to see whatever I want. That includes special screenings. If there's some classic showing being shown, I want the option to see that.
Really love going to stuff like that.
Yeah. So that's why I'm cool with the $10 a month for 3 movies, because there's every month there's always some random anime showing going on. There's always some random classic movie showing. So for me, it's worth it. Yes, the first month is a fucker for $30 a month, but I will use all 3 movies. So at the end of the day, it's just kind of the growing pain of that first month. So I have heard horror stories of them accidentally charging people convenience fees and all that stuff, so I'm sure I'll give you guys an update on that. But so far, the service ran really smoothly for me, other than the beginning process of the activation, but it just took a while.
See, when I was a kid, more specifically a teenager, if you wanted to go see unlimited movies, you could just wait until someone was exiting the theater out the back door and sneak in.
Yeah, that's still an option. Hack
for, I know, that's what I'm saying. So forget all these monthly subscriptions and shit. Just go, like, being shady around the back door of the movie theater. When someone comes in, you just, oh, wait, please, hold that door. And you go in. Free movies.
So, I don't know. Is this a service that you would want to look into eventually?
I'm a little bit tied up in my current movie ticket service here. If I did get the Cinemania, if I did get that, I think you missed out on a good opportunity, because you should have got, given where we live, you should have got the one that lets you go see, like, IMAX and stuff, because they have that 4DX theater that's like $30 a ticket, and it includes that. So you could be getting $100 worth of movies every month for $10 or $15 or whatever.
I'm good. I'm good with my.
It's like a little theme park ride.
I never want to do that.
We got to go do that. Never say never. It's so stupid, but it's so funny.
Maybe we'll be scumbag kids and sneak into one of those.
I don't think so. You know, I don't think you're going to be able to sneak into that. But yeah, I don't know. Maybe if you go to like matinees and stuff, the tickets are only like $5 anyway.
It depends on the day and time. I like the flexibility, and these special screenings, they never really have special prices like that.
Yeah.
That's why I did it. I understand why it's not the most appealing to everybody.
I mean, I did just drop $15 on going to see that Dragon Ball Z movie last week.
And I just saw Perfect Blue, and that was like $13. So that's why I got it.
Yeah. All right. Well, maybe. It's a thing. Okay. Well, I got one here for you.
Cool.
This came out, I saw this today, I don't know if you saw this or not, Hamster just announced a shitload more of those, arcade games on Switch. See that?
No.
Yeah, so, I am a big fan of arcade games. And even more so, it's becoming more and more important to back these games up, because the hardware is so specific, and you're like, people thought that the Donkey Kong code was like lost permanently. So basically, whenever I see this stuff, I love it. Here's the list of games. A bunch of MVS titles. That's Neo Geo for all you laymans out there. Puzzle Bobble, one of my all-time faves.
That's a really good game.
Puzzle Bobble 2, the sequel to one of my all-time faves. King of Fighters 2001. Zupapa. Three Count Bout. Pleasure Goal. Savage Reign. Strikers 1945 Plus. Those are the Neo Geo games. But here is where it gets really interesting. Okay, here's some more games. ASO, don't know what that is. Ninja Kid 2. Route 16. Here's an interesting one. Versus Urban Champion. That's a Nintendo arcade game. Garbage, but it is a Nintendo arcade game. Athena. Ikari Warriors, which is weird because they're doing that collection that includes Ikari Warriors 1, 2, and 3. And here's the big one. Donkey Kong Jr.
Oh, wow.
Little Babby Donkey Kong climbing up the ropes. He's coming. He's climbing his way right into Switch. So, yeah. Exciting stuff. Like I said, I'm a big believer of, keeping these things alive, backing these things up. So,
it's so odd how, on one hand, we're getting so many ports of classic titles, and on the other hand, it just feels like there's a void of other things. Just like, just how this virtual console went down with Nintendo.
Well, see, that's the thing, is that they goofed, because if they would have done the virtual console, they could have had all these games to sell. it could have been them selling them.
Yeah.
Because they had arcade games and stuff on the Virtual Console originally on the Wii.
Yeah.
So they had Neo Geo games. They had arcade games. So that's them. They could have made deals with these with Hamster and these companies and stuff to be releasing them on the Virtual Console banner, and they blew it. So that's on you, Nintendo. That's you done goofed. So but yeah. Any interest in any of those games?
Puzzle Bobble for sure.
Puzzle Bobble.
That's what I said. Puzzle Bobble.
Okay. Yeah, definitely. I'll get Puzzle Bobble too.
I like King of Fighters as well.
You're not going to play that.
I like King of Fighters.
I have like 30 of them in my Neo Geo machine.
I probably won't play it.
I'm not going. Yeah, you've. I have a fucking Neo Geo machine. I've never seen you turn on King of Fighters. I have the authentic product, and you've never once.
Now I'm messing your pronunciation up.
So I'm not going to get Puzzle Bobble because I own it on the arcade, but I'll get Puzzle Bobble 2 because I don't own it on the arcade. So yeah, that's a win for me. And then Donkey Kong Jr., my kid. I like Donkey Kong Jr. more than the first one, honestly. I really like Donkey Kong Jr.
I enjoy that one too.
Would have liked Donkey Kong Jr. math representation here, but I'm pretty sure I'm the only person on the planet that likes that game. So, yeah. Got anything else for us, pal?
Yes. So, recently at the Tokyo, what was it, Tokyo Game Show? Phoenix Wright Trilogy was announced.
I did see that. I thought of you immediately.
Yeah, I'm excited.
Well, we already knew that was coming, I thought.
Well, they teased it already. They already said that they were interested in putting it on the Switch, the trilogy.
Mm-hmm.
So it was a given. I knew that they were having a Phoenix Wright conference.
Oh.
For a while, so I knew that immediately that we were going to get news
Phoenix
about
Wright
it.
For Smash?
I don't think that's going to happen.
That would be so cool, though.
It would be cool.
There's one last. It looks like there's one last character roster opening.
All right.
Yeah. So here's a question: how many times can they release this same trilogy? How many times? Because this is now Game Boy Advance, DS, 3DS, and Switch,
and mobile,
and this is coming to PS4 as well,
and Xbox One.
Yeah. So how many possible times can they release these three games?
Yeah, they're putting out as much as they can. It's a really popular
franchise. It's Capcom.
It's a really popular series.
Capcom's going to Capcom.
So, yeah. No, I'm excited. I've been wanting to have this on Switch for a long time. So ever since I got my Switch, I wanted the Phoenix Wright Trilogy on it. I have the 3DS one, but it's in Japanese, and I was going to use that for my language study. But I don't have a 3DS that plays Japanese games. So
true.
So if I can get the Switch version, and usually in the past you can change the languages,
yes,
on it. So
yes,
I'll probably just get this one.
Yes, yes, you can do that. If you change your region, it just changes it automatically.
Yeah, and even in the menu back then, you could just switch it over. So we'll see. So yeah, Phoenix Wright was such a weird series that blew up in popularity when it first came out on DS in America. It was like a limited release. I had it, and I fell in love with it. And there was just, I never thought that the sequels were ever going to come out. It was just, it was such a niche title back then. And then it randomly got a cult following, and they reprinted the DS games, and it just blew up. And then all the rest of the games got translated. Only one Phoenix Wright game did not get translated.
Which one?
It's the one where it actually takes place like in an alternate universe of like old Japan.
That sounds cool.
Yeah. That's the only one that never got translated. If I could try to find the name of it. But yeah, so great series. I'm not even gonna try. But yeah.
Well, great.
Yeah.
Great story, Bowman.
Yeah, yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah, no problem.
Got anything else for us?
Yeah, the PlayStation Vita has officially...
Oh, damn, that's right.
The final nail in the Vita coffin. In the coffin has been put through. Sony announced that in Japan that in 2019 the Vita system will no longer be manufactured. So the system is completely dead at that point. When I was in Japan last time, it already, like the first time I, like when I, not, well, when I went there at the beginning of this year, there were a lot more Vita sections. Like Vita was everywhere. I'm sure you remember that too.
Yeah.
And when I went back recently, I revisited some of those same stores, and Switch had already like started like pretty much creeping in and taking over those areas.
Yeah.
So there's still a lot of Vita games. Don't get me wrong. Like it was still, you could walk into any game store and you could find a giant shelf full of Vita games, but Switch seems to be taking that spot over, which is kind of odd. It's just odd that Sony is just going to let that happen, because I understand maybe not in the Western market, but Japan was clearly popular. I don't know. What do you think? We beat this topic to a pulp, so I don't want to dwell on it for too long, but
it's sad.
Do you think Sony will ever try to
make
another handheld, or this is it?
Well, I say no, but I think that Sony has always copied Nintendo. I mean, look at the PlayStation Mini.
Yeah.
So I would say never with the success of the Switch. The Switch looks to be on track to be like another Wii. That well received, like over 100 million units sold. And not only is it's better than the Wii, because not only is it selling as many units, but people are actually buying games on it.
Yeah.
And people didn't buy games on the Wii. They bought Carnival games and Wii Sports, and that was it.
Yep.
So I think that they're looking at that and being like, oh, we should really do something like that. And they basically had something like that. If they would have done a better job at marketing the PSTV with the Vita and instead just added a dock to the PSTV or something like that.
Proprietary memory cards.
Right, exactly.
I think that was the biggest issue.
Yeah, they fucked up a lot. And if they hadn't fucked that up, they would have had a great opportunity. I say never say never. Maybe when the PS5 comes out, they release a tablet PS4. You know? As technology gets stronger and better, it becomes more viable to fit those things into a smaller form factor. You know, maybe they do something like that. Who knows? The Vita is an awesome console, and I can only imagine how great it would be if they had supported it to its fullest, too, because it's already a really cool console, and it barely got supported at all.
Yeah.
So, who knows if they'll end up doing something else with it? I don't think so. I don't think they'll do anything like that. They've already said they're not going to do any kind of successor. Yeah, I don't know. I think that they are, I'm sure they're looking at something like it, though, with the success of the Switch. I'm sure Microsoft and them are.
Mm-hmm.
I already brought up in a previous podcast my theory that, you know, Microsoft could eventually release, like, an Xbox tablet. Something like the Switch, where it's just, like, low power, low resolution, but it plays all the Xbox games.
Anytime Nintendo innovates something and it's successful, the other consoles almost always try to
motion come up controls. With
their own. Yeah.
Kinect and fucking Sony Wand. What do they call that?
PlayStation Move.
Yeah. The light dildo. So yeah, I think it's just a matter of time. I wouldn't be surprised if in 10 years all the major consoles are like the Switch, because you're looking at diminishing returns, where it's just basically like now when they release a new console, it's like, yeah, we added a new Dolby Vision HDR, and like that's the only difference. It's like the colors are slightly better. It's like, okay, so you're already getting to the point of diminishing returns, and it's like, they've been talking about for years, the future of gaming is not dedicated consoles hooked up to a TV. It's not. You don't need that anymore. Hell, you know, Sony TVs will just probably have it built in the future. And it's like, you don't need the console at all. You just download from the PlayStation Network to game onto your TV directly. That's, you know, because they can just throw in their OLED TVs that are already $3,000. It's like, all right, just throw the processor in there and stuff and download it directly onto the TV.
Mm-hmm.
You don't need the system. So I think that's where it's headed. And if they want to keep releasing dedicated systems, I think that portability factor is going to be where it's at, because everybody likes their portable devices. You go to a fucking concert and, you know, middle-aged guy with his iPad taking pictures, you know? Or I don't know, maybe that's an outdated reference. I don't know if people still do that, but they did years ago.
I still see it every so often.
Yeah, so people love their devices, you know, and it's just another portable device for you to carry around with a screen on it. So, yeah, I think there's a market for it, and I think that it's a possibility they could do it. So, got anything else to say on this topic?
I'll miss you, Vita.
Rest in peace. We love you. We miss you. Ashes to ashes, dust to dust. I will be sleeping snugly next to my Vita tonight. On that note, if you made it this far, we love you. We're crazy about you. And we're
can't
so
live
thankful.
Without you.
We're so thankful that you listen to us. So why don't you go on over there and hit that subscribe button now, all right? And you can subscribe on Podbean, Google Play, Google Podcasts, iTunes, all that shit. And, you know, go on to Twitter. Send us a tweet. We'd love to hear from you. And, yeah. So on that note, we're going to say bye-bye now, and we'll see you in a few weeks.
Good night, everybody.